Mike, thank you so much for that song tonight and for leading us. Thank you to our choir. Thank you to the musicians. Tonight on this Good Friday, I want to share just two verses of Scripture with us. And they are found in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested by the Jewish ruling council. And they are brought before them, interrogated, and told never to speak or teach again in the name of this Jesus. And so they return, they let them go, but they return to the believers. And the believers come together after hearing about these threats. And it says that they lifted up their voices to God. Together they lifted up their voices to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, O Sovereign Lord," and they pray this amazing prayer. If you're not familiar with the prayer of Acts chapter 4, I would encourage you to read that thoroughly. And in verses 27 and 28, it says, they say, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." I want you to notice tonight the evil actions of men and how they are intertwined with the sovereign plan of God. The evil actions of men and how they are intertwined with the sovereign plan of God. Our first point tonight is man meant it for evil. In Genesis 50:20, Joseph famously said, "What man meant for evil, God meant for good." If you're familiar with the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, his brothers sold him into slavery. But God used him. He raised him up to become the second highest ruler in all of Egypt, only under Pharaoh himself. And he used Joseph to save the people of Israel from famine and starvation. But it has been said that never was that statement, "What man meant for evil, God meant for good," never has that statement been more true than on the day that Jesus was crucified, on the very first Good Friday. It has been said that Good Friday is the single most horrible day in the history of the world. One writer said this, "No incident has ever been more tragic, and no future event will ever match it. No surprise attack, no political assassination, no financial collapse, no military invasion, no atomic detonation or nuclear warfare, no cataclysmic act of terrorism, no large-scale famine or disease, not even slave trading, ethnic cleansing, or decades-long religious warring can eclipse the darkness of that day. No suffering has ever been so unfitting. No human has ever been so unjustly treated, because no other human has ever been so worthy of praise. No one else has ever lived without sin. No other human has ever been God himself. No horror surpasses what transpired on a hill outside Jerusalem almost two millennia ago. And yet, we call it Good Friday." Some of you will remember when I was preaching through the attributes of God, it was actually the last Sunday of December, I preached on the foreknowledge of God. And I shared this with you. The foreknowledge of God means that God not only knows the future, but he is divinely guiding and directing the future according to his sovereign plan. Sometimes when we think of the foreknowledge of God, we just think that God can look ahead and he knows things. And God does look ahead and he does know things, but it's more than that. The foreknowledge of God is far more than that. Not only does God know the future, but he is divinely guiding and directing the future according to his sovereign plan. And at that time, I gave you some examples, and one of those examples was the death of Christ. God the Father didn't just look ahead and say, oh, I can see that someday my son is going to die. No, he planned every detail of it down to the smallest detail. Again, Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28. And I want you to think how the evil actions of human beings intersect with the divine sovereign plan of God. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. They were all gathered together, but watch this, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. They were only doing what your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. In Acts chapter 2, we have Peter's famous sermon at Pentecost. And in Acts 2:23, Peter preaches and says, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Think of that. Again, the divine sovereign plan of God intersected with the evil, wicked actions of men. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. On Good Friday, sinful men and women gathered together to carry out what they had plotted and planned, the murder, the crucifixion of Jesus. The Roman government meant it for evil. They carried out the crucifixion of Christ. Judas Iscariot meant it for evil. He was disillusioned with Jesus and betrayed him. The Jewish religious leaders meant it for evil. Oh, when I preached through the Gospel of John, we saw that so clearly. For a long period of time, they were plotting the murder of Jesus. Herod and Pontius Pilate meant it for evil. All they cared about was maintaining their political pilot. Pontius Pilate, at least twice, says that Jesus was innocent, and yet he allowed them to carry out the crucifixion. The Jewish crowd meant it for evil. We saw this just last Sunday on Palm Sunday. The same crowd at the triumphal entry that was shouting, Hosanna in the highest. 5 to 6 days later, were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. You may recall, and I shared this last Sunday, they were looking for Jesus to come and to conquer the Roman government, and at that time, to set up his messianic kingdom. But when he didn't, they became disillusioned. They became disappointed in Jesus. And so they cried out for his crucifixion. But if you look at the scriptures, all of us meant it for evil. All of us did. Because it was our sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. So men meant it for evil. Our second point is God meant it for good. God was at work on Good Friday, doing his greatest good in man's most horrible evil. Think about it. God was accomplishing his greatest good in man's most horrible evil through the wickedness and evil of Judas, the Jewish leaders, Pilate, the people, and all of us as sinners. God's hand is steady, always working it out for our final good. This day, of all days, bears not only the fingerprints of sin and evil, but also the sovereign hand of God for our ultimate good. Think about it. On Good Friday, on that cruel cross, Jesus paid for all of our sins. On Good Friday, on that cruel cross, Jesus purchased our salvation. On Good Friday, on that cruel cross, Jesus died in our place as our substitute. So Paul says in Romans chapter 8 in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Oh, not only did he die for us, not only did he bring us salvation, but through Jesus, God continues to graciously give us all things. So God wrote good on the single worst day in the history of the world. I just want you to think about that with me tonight. God wrote good on the single worst day in the history of the world. We preach the good news of the gospel today because of Good Friday. We are the sons and daughters of God because of Good Friday. We have eternal, everlasting life in Christ because of Good Friday. What man meant for evil, God meant for good. Satan and sinful man meant that specific Friday for evil. But God meant it for good. And so, to this day, we call it Good Friday. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are here tonight because the cruel death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary fully paid for all of our sins. It was the death of Christ that purchased our salvation. Oh, Father, words could never express how grateful we are that Jesus died in our place as our substitute. In his glorious, victorious name we pray. Amen.